Welcome to the Brave Parenting Podcast, an examination of the Bible and how parents can apply God's word to raising kids in a culture saturated with media and technology. Hello, everyone. Hope you're having a wonderful summer. And today I'm going to be talking about grandparents. Now, this isn't a podcast just for grandparents listening. It, of course, is for you parents as well. Now, as I get started, you may remember that I am a grandparent. I actually recently welcomed my third grandchild. This is the first boy, so a grandson. Such a joy and privilege to have grandchildren. Someone recently asked me at a conference, I think it was the Colson Center conference, how on earth are you a grandparent? So if you've wondered that, I'll just explain it. If you're trying to figure it out, I actually became a grandparent at 39. So I adopted 7 kids. One of them was a 16-year-old who had a baby when she was 20. So now at the time when I was 39, I still had like 6 kids in the house under age 15, I think. So I never really felt like a grandparent at all. It wasn't really until most of my kids were all kind of leaving the nest, and I think we had maybe 2 kids left, that God really put on our heart to help in our granddaughter's education when she was 5. And so that's what we have done. That is why she lives with us during the week so that she can go to school very near our home and we can help her with homework. And then she goes home on the weekends. And in the summertime, she's kind of bouncing between both places, between her parents and ours. So we find ourselves now kind of in a position of grandparenting and parenting still at the same time. And our parents are great grandparenting, and I'm so thankful for their role in our children and our grandchildren's lives. So clearly, this is a topic that is near and dear to me, but I know that it's near and dear to many people. I talk to a lot of people at conferences, especially grandparents, and I know not only are you hungry for advice, just in guidance on media and technology as how that relates to relating to your grandchildren, but I also have heard so many stories of anguish of either not being able to be involved in your grandchildren's lives, or maybe it's just heartbreak because your adult children are not raising your grandchildren to know and love the Lord. And whatever your situation is, what I want to do today is just address the essential role that grandparents can have in their grandchildren's lives, especially in the sense of heritage and all that heritage means in the digital age. I want to encourage both parents and grandparents out there that really, no matter what situation or circumstance or kind of the nuances of what you're navigating in your family, know that God is a God of restoration and reconciliation. And most importantly, He calls us to these intergenerational relationships. So we've got to keep that at the forefront of our mind. And we just need to also acknowledge that we do live in a culture increasingly comfortable with isolation from family members. Now, some of that is a matter of geography, right? Families move across the country for jobs. Maybe grandparents are moving somewhere else for retirement, and that naturally separates families from regular contact. I know I moved away to Texas from my family that is all back in Ohio and Indiana, and so that has been a tough separation. I've not been near my family as I've raised my children. But then there's also this idea of going no contact with family, which is often parents, and that is also on the rise. As I was researching this, I found that 38% of adult children in the U.S. claim that they are estranged from an immediate family member, according to recent polls. Now, of course, there may be valid reasons for this, and I don't want to discount that, but we do need to recognize that as Christians, we should be unusually committed to reconciliation, right? Because we are forgiven people. We have been reconciled to Christ. And so the measure that we have been forgiven, of course, we must go and forgive others and work towards that sort of relational repair with all humility, with all wisdom that comes from the Lord. Especially, I'm going to argue, this intergenerational restoration. If your children's grandparents are not practicing Christians, for example, that isn't a strong enough reason to cut them out of your grandchildren's lives. if they don't do anything but watch TV or stare at their phone all day. Again, not a reason to discourage your children from spending time with them. I'm going to get into some very specific tips for that in just a bit. But I really argue this point because children lose more than just an occasional visit to their grandparents when these relationships are severed. They lose out on heritage. And what is a heritage? Heritage is the stories about where they came from. It's the pictures, the memories. It's the traditions that have been done from generation to generation. And it's the slow skills like fishing or knitting. It's recipes and cooking. It's maybe favorite hymns or writing letters. Children lose a connection to who they are and where they came from. And that's critical loss, especially in this individualized and hyper-personalized world that our kids are growing up in. They need to feel like they belong to something bigger than themselves, something that has roots, right? That holds them stable in a chaotic world. And we know, right? They need more relationships in their lives. They need more relationships than they need isolation or protection from quirky grandparents. They need more generational wisdom than they need more influencer recommendations. They need more slow conversations, more than they need 15-second reels. And they need old school activities instead of new immersive video game worlds. And honestly, I'm going to say this. They need more than just organized sports and curated content and personalized entertainment. They need more than that. They need what grandparents can give them. Now, recent research has shown that as screen time increases to upwards of 8 hours a day for young people, what is lost, of course, right? What is sacrificed to that screen time is time for hobbies and chores and reading and time outdoors and, of course, meaningful relationships. It is, right, this inverse relationship. As screen time goes up, of course, everything else is going to go down. Everything else is going to be lost to that screen time. And spending time with grandparents can be one small step towards restoring some of these formative and beneficial activities in their lives. A 2025 study found that grandparent involvement can positively impact children's resilience. And I think every parent knows that kids need more resilience these days. And more than just childcare or babysitting for the parents, or even the formation that it can give a child, it has positive outcomes for the grandparents themselves. A recent study found that grandparents who engage socially or emotionally with their grandchildren report lower levels of loneliness, better memory, and better overall health-related quality of life. That makes sense, right? Right? This actually shouldn't feel like some new scientific revelation on how grandparents and grandchildren are supposed to be in relationship, because this is God's original design for the family. Generational wisdom, memory keeping, heritage sharing, and the relational formation, right? These are all ordained by God. Let's look at His word. Deuteronomy 4:9. Only give heed to yourselves and keep your soul diligently so that you do not forget the things which your eyes have seen and they do not depart from your heart all the days of your life, but make them known to your sons and your grandsons. Right? We see that these memories, what the Lord has done in all the days of their life, are to be passed down to sons and grandsons. And then also Psalm 78:4-7. Says, we will not conceal them from their children, but tell to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wondrous works that He has done. For He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers that they should teach them to their children, that the generation to come might know, even the children yet to be born, that they may arise and tell them to their children that they should put their confidence in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. How beautiful is that, right? the children not even born yet, right? We're already thinking about the next generation and how the faith and the love of the Lord is going to be passed on. That is what is commanded of us. Proverbs 17:6 says that children's children are the crown of old people. Well, I know I certainly don't love being considered old, but I completely agree with that sentiment, that comparison, right? As someone has famously, humorously said, right, grandchildren are God's reward for not killing your own children when they were teenagers. And while that is humorous, yes, truly though, grandchildren are a reward. They are a blessing from the Lord, as Psalm 127:3 says. We also see in Proverbs 13:22 that a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. Right? Well, this word inheritance doesn't only mean like a financial inheritance. It's the passing down of wisdom, knowledge, and yes, material blessing to the grandchildren. And the reality is, when God designed this world, he instituted the family as his means of propagating the earth and teaching us about love and about faith in him through these relationships within the family. From one generation to the next, the formation of children was to be done by parents, supported by grandparents, so that the heritage can be passed down. Grandparents are not like some sort of sentimental extra that you can just either choose or not choose to do life with. Biblically, they are God's prescribed means for helping form a child. Now, I know that to many, depending on where you are in life, that might sound archaic and outdated in this modern age. And that's often because, you know, the internet touts this mantra of self-sufficiency and really pits the generations at war with one another. According, you know, to the internet culture, the most empowering thing that you can do is to protect yourselves from any relationship that's hard, that takes work, that, you know, you might consider, quote, toxic, all under this banner of, quote unquote, self-care and mental health. But we must remember, so many of these ideas come from the fallen world, right? Satan wants nothing more than the destruction of families. So of course, the lie is going to be that you are going to be empowered, that you are going to be so self-sufficient, that you don't need your grandparents, you don't need their politics, you don't need their ideology, whatever it is that maybe someone online or, you know, someone even in the real world who's been online has convinced you of, right? That is a lie from Satan. He wants to destroy the family. And God says, no, the family is my institution for raising children. Now let's play this out a little bit and reconsider about children and whether or not they need their grandparents. A child can watch hours of fishing videos on YouTube. They can follow pro fishermen on Instagram and even hashtag fish talk on TikTok, but they will still never know grandpa's trick for baiting the line. That boy will never know how to sit silently next to his grandfather on the dock of a lake or in a fishing boat. He'll never hear his grandfather's praise when he makes the first catch of the day, or remember the story about when he was a boy and he did this with his grandfather. Similarly, a child can watch hours of YouTube episodes of MasterChef and British baking competition. They can follow food influencers on Instagram and save a load of recipes to try on hashtag food talk. They will never know the secret to grandma's chocolate chip cookies. She will never feel her grandmother's presence as she stands on a stool to reach the counter and help her grandmother knead dough, or hear the story of where the family's favorite Thanksgiving dressing recipe came from during the Great Depression when ingredients were scarce. You see, the internet can teach us so many things. We can learn how to tie a knot. We can learn how to knit a scarf, change a car's oil, bake bread, start a garden. Grandparents can teach all of this while also modeling how to wait, how to work hard and remain faithful, how to make mistakes and fail without quitting, how to listen to a story you've already heard, how to care for tools, how to respect and steward creation, how to work slowly with your hands, how to remember God's faithfulness across decades. Because fishing and cooking become more than just hobbies and potential content that you can market. They are formative experiences, right? Fishing isn't just about getting the fish and then smiling for the picture that's going to be posted on Instagram. Fishing's about learning patience, attentiveness, how to sit quietly with your own thoughts, and perseverance. Just like cooking isn't only about having food to eat or an aesthetically pleasing dish to photograph and then post. Or cooking so much more. It's learning how to organize, how to measure, how to follow instructions, to stay focused, to be diligent, to make mistakes and try again, and to practice delayed gratification. This is why content is not enough for our children. The internet can give them information, but it cannot give them an inheritance. This is why the role of grandparents is so essential. It always has been, but I believe now more than ever in the digital age, it is a critical piece of restoring childhood and helping children enter their young adulthood with purpose, meaning, virtue, and roots. Now, you may be thinking, yeah, Kelly, that's great. That sounds awesome. But what if the grandparents, you know, in my children's lives, they don't do these sort of things? What if you don't bring the children around because all the grandparents do is watch TV or scroll on their phones or talk about politics in a grumpy way? And I've heard probably that exact story at least 10 times, I would say, in the past year. So I know that many of you have that very argument right now. And this is where I just want to encourage you, as the parents listening, to be a vessel for transformation. Knowing that this relationship is good for both your children and the grandparents in your children's lives, I implore you to try a new approach. The grandparents in your children's lives need this just as much as the children do. And frankly, you do as well. So here are some practical tips. When you go to your parents or your in-laws to talk about this, and a lot of times I'm gonna talk about the media aspect because this is just so common. This is what I'm hearing. And you don't want your parents, the grandparents, to just let your kids be online. You don't want them to be using their own phone or just having the TV going constantly. So when you're talking about this, this shouldn't be like you are an employer handing out some sort of like new media policy to your employees, right? Remember the respect and honor that we are called by God to give our parents and our in-laws. So approach them as honored family members who are invited into a higher vision of generational relationships. We also need to help our parents use digital technology less, to watch less Fox News, to scroll on Facebook a little bit less, right? This is part of our role. Like it or not, this is what God has created us for this very time and place. So I want you to tell your parents or your in-laws, right, that you want your children to know them, to really know them, not just be around them, but to know who they are and to learn from them. Help them see that they still serve a vital role in the family and that their contribution would bless future generations. I know so many grandparents who feel like they're just burdens and that they have no purpose anymore in this world, that they're kind of like outdated and, you know, their kids just are doing their own thing. And so they just try not to get involved. And I know that this invitation can restore their hope and purpose. So explain that you're trying to give your children memories and stories, skills and traditions that they cannot get from a screen. You want them to know the slow things of life that really the grandparents know so well, even if they're not practicing them all the time. And at this point, I think if it applies, now is a great time to humbly admit, hey, you know what? This media and screen thing has really gotten out of hand in our house. Maybe you allowed too much and you can admit that, or maybe your kids have just fallen in love with it a little too much. And talk about how you're working on a reset, right? And then make your request clear to the grandparents. Hey, when the kids are here, would you help us by not allowing any screen time or have the TV on or any iPad, smartphone, but choose to do the slow things with them instead? Would you tell stories or play games, play cards, bake cookies, build something, right? Reassure them that it doesn't have to be elaborate, but that you want the kids to specifically experience the slow childhood that you had, honestly, but that your kids are not getting to experience. Because right now, they're just being constantly entertained. And this is what we want. We want something different than that. And with that, it's probably helpful to state the obvious. Hey, you know what? The kids may resist this at first. All of the media that they consume for fun and for school seems to have robbed them of patience and instilled this expectation of constant stimulation. You probably do need to recognize that with the grandparents. But again, because you know their media-shaped character can be transformed and must be transformed, that you not only plan to make changes to help this improve, but that you would love for them to have a part in that because you know that they offer something valuable. But nevertheless, right, you don't want the kids' sour attitude to rob them of a relationship with the grandparents. So explain this, right? That's an example of how you can just start this conversation if this isn't already happening between the grandparents and grandchildren in your life. Now, there are, I know, so many different circumstantial changes that you may need to change the flow of all of that, right? You may need to humbly apologize for not encouraging time with the kids before, right? So much of it is about humility. Maybe you recognize that the grandparents are fearful, like they just are afraid that they're not going to be able to handle the kids. And maybe you need to make some compromises and allow one at a time, if you have three kids, you know, to go and spend time with the grandparents. But the point is, right, at the end of the day, we don't want the grandparents to indulge kids in screens just because that's what makes them happy, right? We don't want them to just kind of try and meet the kids where they are today and sit and play Fortnite or watch TikTok with them. That is not the goal at all, right? And that needs to be clearly stated. The goal is shared heritage, not shared screen time. Now, for the grandparents listening, well, if you haven't already realized, yes, you do need to hear and understand that children formed by modern media are unlikely to enjoy the slow activities at first. They will probably ask for your phone or their iPad every 5 minutes. They will probably complain and give you a heavy sigh and whine. But that doesn't mean that the activity is failing or that you are failing, right? First, it could just mean that they're detoxing from overstimulation. That's a good thing. And second, it may honestly reflect some of your own diminishing patience. And I get that, right? After raising kids, you know, working a whole career, living your life, like you may just feel kind of done with childhood nonsense. Again, I get it, but I urge you to remember that God has ordained this role for you. These are the good works that God has prepared in advance that you should walk in them even in your older age. Age is not an excuse for this. Maybe your lack of mobility is not an excuse for being involved in your grandchildren's lives. Know that it's going to get easier with time. That first fishing trip or attempt at baking cookies may be disastrous, but the children aren't going to remember the lack of success. They're going to remember the time they spent with you, the effort you took, and the wisdom you shared, the love, the unconditional love that you gave them. So, grandparents, I want you to remember that You cannot really compete with any algorithm, and you will never, never out-entertain YouTube. Isn't your role. Your role is to love, to teach, admonish, to model, to bless, and to leave a heritage. Okay? So now let me give you, grandparents, some practical guidance. What does this actually look like? Give you some things. Number one, choose a skill that you can pass down. Think about what your grandparents might have taught you, something that you're good at, something that you enjoy. It can be anything from fishing and cooking, those examples I gave, but it can also be letter writing. It could be woodworking. It could be canning, knitting, gardening, car maintenance, lawn care, right? Doesn't matter. Anything can work. And then also think about one story that you want to pass down, right? At least one, right? That you want your grandchildren to know about you, that they may then go tell their children or their grandchildren in generations to come. Maybe this is how you came to faith, how you met your spouse, the time you served in war, or a family hardship, or just a unique victory. Share that with them. And that is going to be a story. It's okay to tell them multiple times because they might forget some details. So tell them a couple times. And then also choose a tradition that you want to preserve. Think about the traditions that you love, maybe that you even did as a child, and maybe it's a tradition that's faded away, but can you revive it? Or can you start a new tradition? You know, maybe it's something around a holiday or around one of the children's birthdays. Maybe it's time that you spend annually in the summer together, or a trip that you take, a recipe that you make, or even a song that you sing together. And then finally, I would also encourage you grandparents to think in advance of a blessing that you want to speak over your grandchildren. You know, maybe it's a piece of advice, of wisdom, or just a truth that you can repeat to your grandchildren that they can remember. You know, maybe it's that you tell them, God made you for a purpose. Or maybe you say, you know, go and change the world for the better, right? Kids need to remember that that is a calling, is to make the world better, not just to exist. Maybe you tell them, hey, in our family, we follow Jesus. Whatever it is, think about that and then make sure that you are saying that over them every chance you have. Because these are the intentional and the formative and the memorable activities of heritage, right? Never let it be that we hold all of these traditions and memories and blessings and skills just to ourselves for the convenience of not having to put forth effort, right? For the comfort of letting kids do what they want. That is such a terrible loss for everyone, right? For both generations. We do not want these memories and blessings and skills to just go down to the grave unshared. Okay, so I know that not all of that practical wisdom is going to fit everybody's situation. Some of you may be heavy-hearted right now because your children's grandparents are no longer living. And so they're not going to get to experience these things. I mean, maybe there's a listener who wishes desperately to be a grandparent. Or you know someone who's retired or an empty nester but has no grandchildren and they're listening to this. I want to tell you, friends, this is the benefit of the church, of the local church body. This is why we are called to the local church. There are probably more empty nest retired couples who have no grandchildren in your church than you possibly know. They desperately wish for grandchildren, but maybe their children are either unmarried or they don't want kids. And I hear these stories so often because, you know, it's such a joy for me to say, oh, I've just welcomed my third grandchild. And here I am, I'm 47. And so many of these people are like 70 and they have none. And it's heartbreaking for them. So talk to them, find out who these people are, maybe have them over for dinner. See if you connect with them and if they connect with your kiddos. And then maybe ask, pray about it, right? Ask, hey, would you just be, consider being an adoptive grandparent, right? Not for childcare, but just for the blessing of shared lives, of memories and traditions and skills with the next generation who right now only know the digital life. And you want them to know of the the older generation's life, right? This is ultimately what God's people are called to do. This is how we do all of the one another's in scripture. It doesn't always have to be blood relationships to have this benefit. And here's also what I'll say about that. When we began fostering children, our siblings, Ryan and I's siblings, were having their own children, right? So they were giving both of our parents biological grandchildren. And the parents were honest about feeling like, I don't know if we can love the kids the same, right? The biological grandkids versus the foster adopted grandkids. But let me tell you that that is not at all what happened. Both of our parents poured in to our 7 kids. And even though, like from our kids' point of view, this was not their biological grandparents, they soaked it all in. They were immediately grandma and grandpa to them. And I know if I was to ask my kids what role their grandparents played in their childhood, they would describe both fun and formative stories. Honestly, like I could just cry thinking about the testimonies of this, right? And so now all of my kids are adults and they can go and find their biological grandparents and they can build relationships with them. They aren't. It's the grandparents of their childhood that they keep in touch with, that they call for wisdom and advice, that they call to check in on, right? It's the grandparents who helped form them and shape them, who they saw supporting us as their parents, right? It's who they share the memories and traditions with, even if they don't share blood. And like I mentioned before, right now, our parents are great grandparenting, and it is such a beautiful thing to watch. My father-in-law loves to take walks on their property with our 8-year-old granddaughter, and he was just telling me how he chose this specific spot and told her that it was a secret spot that only they knew about. And I honestly don't remember all the details because apparently, well, it's secret, but I was just overwhelmed by the joy that it brought both of them. He was delighted to tell me about it. And when I asked my granddaughter about it, she was just, you know, eyes light up, so excited that she had a secret spot with great-grandpa. It's like, y'all, you can find secret locations in a video game, but they mean nothing, right? That means nothing in the virtual world compared to the experience of exploring the outdoors and having your great-grandfather declare a location special and secret just for the two of you. And is this not also what we read in the book of Ruth, right? It's the story of loyalty between this young widow, Ruth, and her mother-in-law, Naomi. And Ruth follows Naomi and helps care for her. They're not blood related. And when she eventually marries Boaz and they have their first baby, right? Everyone in the town congratulates Naomi and says, Naomi has a son. The child was no blood relation to Naomi, but because of the love and loyalty between her and Ruth, right? This child became her grandchild. It does not matter if it's blood or not blood, right? The benefit comes from the intergenerational relationships. So I really hope that that is an encouragement to anyone who is in a situation where that biological option just isn't there. It's not an option. So as I wrap up the episode, I just want to reiterate really that every single one of us, all of us, every generation uses screens because they are convenient. But we know the side effects and the consequences to all of this excessive screen time is severe. It's severe for us as parents, it's severe for children, and it's severe for the older generation. At the end of the day, it impacts every age, not just cognitively, emotionally, it's impacting us relationally and a huge impact on all of us spiritually because it becomes an idol of worship when you are spending 8 to 9 hours a day consuming content on a screen. So perhaps the next right thing to help restore all of these benefits emotionally, cognitively, relationally, spiritually, is to reconnect the generations and remember all that the Lord has done across the generations for God's people. Maybe the screen time, it only decreases a little bit, you know, over the summer as you maybe try and start to do this. But if bonds are being built, if memories are being made and stories are being told and skills are being learned and heritage is shared, these can go a long way in a child's life. And it can restore God's purpose in the grandparents, which I'm going to argue they still need, and it's going to instill purpose in the grandkids and give them roots that will hold them steady in this chaotic digital world. So now, would you do me a favor and share this with a friend that maybe you know that their children doesn't have a relationship with grandparents? Chances are you know somebody who this can just hit home for and maybe motivate them towards reconciliation or just a different approach for grandparenting and time with grandchildren and doing the slow things versus just allowing screen time. Okay, thanks for listening. That's all I have for you today. I will be back next week. And until then, go and be brave.